Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Time to talk about all that thing that punches us in the gut. Often, our mental health in Montana, especially our youth mental health. I know as we talk about this, I throw statistics out there. They're valid. They're important to understand. They're not very good. But that's not the end of the story there. That's only the beginning of it, too. There are a lot of people out there that have recognized the importance of strong mental health. And we're talking about that here today with an organization that has been doing this year after year after year and doing it at times in crisis as well. How do you manage that? How are they doing? Chaudière Children's Hospital, Craig Asbett is in studio here today along with Rusty Cash. And we're going to talk about, well, who they're serving, how they're serving them, and how we can all help make it a better place. For especially our kids. Not today on Voices of Montana. Going to get right to who's in studio here and then talk about the issue of mental health. It's sombering in a way and it's hard to talk about. But also there are good things going on here too. And that's what we need to focus on too, that there is resolution to some of these mental issues. Craig Asbett is with us, CEO of Chaudière Children's Hospital. Been in this game for quite some years, Craig. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on the program today, and thank you for what you do. I appreciate
that. Thank you.
Rusty Cash is here as well, Chief Development Officer. Rusty, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming alongside. He brought a few copies of this book that we'll talk about here, the Bison and the Firefly. That's pretty cool. But, Craig... you know, as I did that opening, a little bit somber at times, because I think we should be somber about how we're missing the boat at times on mental health. But that's come a long ways. And you've been in the industry, I think it's maybe 30 years or so. Yeah. Yeah.
40 if we're counting.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, we don't have to count all of them. You know, what have you seen? And I want to, you know, who your patients are, but I'm really curious, as we kind of chatted before the show, We're thinking that there's breakthroughs happening in mental health in a lot of ways too. Tell me that that's true.
Well, I mean, I think it's definitely true. I mean, it's taken some time to get where we're at, and there is still a very long way to go. So I would say, as I shared earlier, I think we finally as a country have taken mental health and we put it on the table and we're starting to have conversations about it, which has been a huge first step. But it doesn't mean we're out of the woods by any sort of imagination right now. There's a lot of work left to be done.
Does that encourage the mental health providers? Does it, because I when I look at today's medical community, they've been hammered in a lot of ways too. And so I know that they need to be encouraged. And they're out there still saving lives. I mean, that's a reward in and of itself, so to speak. Are they encouraged that there's movement forward when it comes to youth mental health?
Oh, I think for sure. I mean, I think that our staff, our clinicians, everyone is encouraged by where the industry is going or the topic of mental health. And now it becomes there's this huge need and there's not enough access for the services that need to be provided. So that becomes, on the first hand, great. But the next chapter is, how do we provide those services that every child, in this case, has access to?
Rusty Cash, it's probably a good question for you, too, as the Chief Development Officer. How, and you're out there talking to people and saying, here's what we do. Will you help? Are you getting on board here? And what is their response? What is their understanding of the value and the need for good mental health for our youth?
Overall, in our state, I believe that people still lack the awareness. They're afraid to have that tough conversation. And that's something that I'm faced with on a daily basis is when I meet with donors, when I meet with just families across the state, is the education part behind what we do, let alone what the state needs. And so it's a major portion of our work is just raising awareness, making sure that people know the need that's out there.
Craig, what is the need? I want to know who you're serving And so paint that picture for us, because we're going to be talking about these patients, for the next hour here, so to speak. Who are we serving, and what is their need?
Well, so who we're serving is Chaudière Children's Hospital is serving the entire state of Montana. So last year, we saw kids from all 56 counties in Montana. So when we talk about mental health, we're not talking about Helena. We're talking about the state of Montana. And so the need just continues to grow. As Chaudière has been around 130 years, a rich, rich history. We are the only acute adolescent inpatient and residential psychiatric facility under one roof. But we can't do it by ourselves either, which means there's a lot of active creative partnerships that we need to be having with other providers just to provide the access to services that kids deserve.
The only acute psychological care facility, and we've seen, I think, over the years in addressing this issue, that there needs to be more emergency psychiatric help in the state of Montana. What's your comment on that?
Well, I think that the answer is absolutely. When you start leaving, the major cities of Montana, Billings and Helena and Kalispell, and you get to rural Montana, that's where the issue really becomes, is you've got kids out there, families out there with very few services, if at all. So it's really reaching out to them. And Tom, to your previous comment, Chaudière takes care of kids from 4 years old up to 18 years old. So that's the group of kids. We're taking care of all kids. Rusty said it earlier. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're coming from. If you need services, we will provide them.
And that's where I kind of want to paint that picture a little bit. So what are these kids that have experienced trauma? And I understand this, but educate our audience. Are they the kids who have experienced trauma? Are they underprivileged just from a financial standpoint? As much as you can share, who are these patients that we're serving?
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I think they're all of the above, right?
Yeah.
I don't think we can just say this group or that group. Chaudière last year, 70% of the kids we take care of are on Montana Medicaid. Okay, so when you look at that group, it's a very vulnerable population. And I think And that's just that group. There are others, who have private pay insurance or might not just have anything that we're providing services for. So we're looking at providing the right care to every child that needs our services.
And that that type of service is probably pretty broad based, isn't it?
Yeah. So for Chaudière, for the viewers to understand, is a lot of kids that come to Chaudière come via an ambulance from their community. So if they have tried committing suicide, for example, they will end up in their local emergency room. Then that emergency room is coordinating with Chaudière, and kids are then brought to Chaudière for services. Typically, they're admitted to our acute unit, which is really that intense an intense stabilization of the kid, and that average length of stay is probably from 10 to 12 days. And once they're stabilized, then our clinicians are making the decisions of what's the next step. Mm-hmm. Do they step down to a residential service? Do they go to outpatient? Do they go to a group home? So it's always moving all the time, but it's just getting kids, keeping them connected in a program and getting them to the right place.
It seems like a lot to keep track of.
It is a lot to keep track of, yes.
Craig Asfed, again, CEO of Chaudière Children's Hospital, been there since 2015, I believe.
Is that right? Is correct, yes.
Yeah, congratulations on that. 10 years.
Yeah. 10 years in this industry, it's hard. But I always tell people, 40-year career, 10 years have been really specific to psychiatric care. And I will, without a doubt, this has been the most purposeful job I've had in my career.
I appreciate that. Yeah. And thank you for that. Rusty, I'm going to ask you a question, too, because you shared a statistic that kind of surprised me a little bit, maybe not so much intuitively, but mile by mile, the more rural you are, the shorter your lifespan is. There's a lot of reasons for that, I presume, but mental health is involved in that. But that's a surprising statistic.
Yeah, definitely. in what I like to say is your zip code shouldn't impact your lifespan. And we see it dramatically in our rural areas, whether it is mental health or physical health, but specifically mental health. There's a lack of access to care, and we cover 150,000 square miles at Chaudière.
Wow.
Nobody else in the nation does that when I meet with other people. So what we need to do is we need to find those partners, like Craig said, to help us in those communities to facilitate the care. We'd love to work ourselves out of a job, right? We would absolutely love to not have an acute facility for kids. But with the leading cause of preventable death, 10 to 17 years old, is suicide in this state. It's time for us to start having those tough conversations.
Yeah. How do we have, Craig, I'll ask you this question. How do we have these conversations in a meaningful way so that people are not just gut punched, but they're getting up out of their seat and going, I'm in the game now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is really what we're doing right now, is really educating the communities, the parents, you know, the family members, the grandparents, the kids, is that it is really getting out and telling the stories about mental health. And as we shared earlier, you know, having patients of Chaudière who have done that for us and continue to do that for us is the most impactful story out there. You know, as I said earlier, for some 16-year-old child to get up in front of an audience and just say, hey, you know what, I'm a suicide survivor, gets the attention of people, and it starts fostering the conversation of, hey, I've seen my son or daughter, they've had signs or this or that. So it becomes a safety place for kids to see their peers coming out and admitting it.
There are, I think of the State of Mind program out of the University of Montana, which has done some things on mental health, trying to reach out to kids in a unique way, so to speak. I want to talk about some of these stories, Craig. Well, share one right now. Somebody in mind, and as you said, they are gathering the courage and the experience to share that, because I think, as you noted, that's very, very important. So share a quick story with us.
You know, there's so many, but I think a recent quick story is that, you know, the first thing I go to that I want to start with, and then I'll add to it, is that when I moved to Helena, I had twin daughters that were sophomores at Helena High School. And this was the wake-up call for me, is in their first 3 months, they had one of their classmates commit suicide. And I remember sitting with them. We were living in an apartment at the time, and watching the impact it had on my daughters, who were new to a town, new to a school system, and just what it generated inside of them. And that was the time for me. It was like, holy crap, this is a big issue, and we need to start talking about it. Other stories, we've had kids who have, frankly, have tried taking their lives, not one time, not two times, maybe several times, that will end up in Chaudière. And we have several patients. Rusty can talk about our Children's Miracle Network champion child, who have survived, and they're thriving today, and they are becoming our poster and out sharing their story and their message across the state of Montana. So it's stories of, you know, committing, you know, trying to commit suicide, or it might be something that happened in your life where you were sexually abused by a loved one. You know, the list just goes on and on and on. And last quick story I'll share is driving in last night, I was listening to the book, The Anxious Generation. Mm. And I think one thing we just need to start talking about, and we know this, is that we've got this thing called cell phones and social media, and what that is doing to the whole mental health industry and our kids right now is devastating. So we're talking today where we have a big issue. I don't think we truly understand the full impact of what cell phones and all of that have done to our kids.
Boy, and what do we do with that, even if we do understand it? You know, it's taken, I mean, such command, I think, of our attention in a lot of ways, too. But it's something that we can use, right? Usefully, yeah. Right. It's like any tool out there. Chaudière Children's Hospital in studio here today with Craig Asped and Rusty Cash. Tom Schultz back alongside. They serve kids from 4 to 18, and it is acute inpatient care. They had a recently, and we were there, Craig, when we did a little tour, and thank you for that. That was maybe several years ago when we were doing the For the Farmers tour. Stopped in, and you gave us a tour of the hospital. I learned an awful lot there. I got to walk into the genetics lab, which was cool. The building that I want to talk about here was just under construction at that time, but since then it's been completed. That's super cool. Maybe we'll talk about that. And then I've got a question for Rusty about the Children's Miracle Network Champion Child. But since I'm talking about that expansion, it's 134,000 square feet. And that was a sign of you guys addressing the need, and then your sponsors also coming on board to address that need.
Yeah, the biggest part of our project is that in our old building, we had 72 beds, 40 of them were semi-private. And what we were seeing is that we had an ongoing waiting list of kids that needed to get into Chaudière, but we did not have the capacity. And a lot of times you can't put kids in another room with, you know, another kid who are struggling with, you know, mental health issues. Yeah. So it really made a step back and think, how can we do this differently? So that's how the new hospital project came on board. So today we have 82. They're all private rooms.
Wow.
It is a facility that I would describe as it's not a cold, sterile facility like a lot of people have probably seen in other psychiatric hospitals. It's very open. It's very inviting. And the intent is healing. And then we've broken up our pods. You know, we used to have units that were up to 30 kids, and now we're at 10-bed pods. So it allows us to really focus on the individual child themselves, focus on their programming, focus on their healing. But that's what this new building project has done for us. And it has opened the door to allow us to start treating more kids, which is most important.
Have you seen a response from that approach?
Oh, yeah. We have seen. So, you know, before this new building, oftentimes we didn't have the capacity. So kids were leaving the state of Montana and we're going to Georgia or Mississippi. And that is just not conducive of what the child needs at that time. So when we built this building, it was our goal, our intentions that we're going to start taking care of all Montana kids. And this new building has allowed us to do that, where when we have beds available, we're admitting kids regardless of their diagnosis.
Wow. And that's one of the things I think people need to recognize, too, is that you know, there are numbers, there's accounting that goes along with this, but I think the first thing is the hearts. And so you don't turn people away. If they need help, you'll find them help when they come to the door. And that's why, I mean, you guys need help in doing that too. Rusty Cash, Chief Development Officer, I want to ask you, because Craig alluded to it. We want to hear some of these stories of mental health, the challenges, but also recovery too. And there are people out there who are learning how to share their story. One is the Children's Miracle Network Champion Child.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to backpedal a little bit and talk about the building.
Yeah,
one of the things that I think is really amazing about Chaudière is it's Montanans taking care of Montanans. If we were to take kids from out of state, our bottom line would look a lot better. They reimburse at a higher rate. There's all these things that we need to work with in state to make that to make those changes that are necessary. But ultimately, it's Montanans taking care of Montanans. And one of the statistics when I was first starting that Craig shared with me was the new building was $66 million.
Correct.
58 of that stayed in state. 58 was Montana, contractors, steel. You know, we could have outsourced that cheaper, I'm sure. Could have been a huge boon for somebody in Washington to come up and help us with that building. But that stayed in state because we're about taking care of our own.
Let me add, that comes from the kid from Butte, who's working for the kid from Lewistown.
It's we're passionate about what we do.
Yeah.
We want to leave this place better for us, for our next generation, for our kids, grandkids, whatever may come. That's our job. That's our job, is to leave it a little better than we found it.
It makes me feel better, you know, that you guys have this genuine love for what you do here as well. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
And the building's a big part of it too. We'll get back to that. Let's see. Yeah, I got time. This champion child, I'm curious.
Sure.
Yeah.
So we're the only member of the Children's Miracle Network in the state of Montana. We're the only freestanding psychiatric facility that is a member of the Children's Miracle Network. Craig sits on the board for Children's Miracle Network. What they do in each location is we find a child that really embodies what we do. We ask all of our departments to put in. We have an application process. Nationwide, the Children's Miracle Network then helps us choose one kiddo that they think really embodies what we do and how we do it. Sometimes they're not always just a flat-out success story, right? There's kids, everybody's struggling throughout life. That's it's good. Important to raise your hand and say, I'm struggling. We have those conversations as adults. We need to model that for our kiddos. And so we have a couple of kids right now that I'm familiar with. I've been with the organization close to a year now. I've worked with kids, struggling kids, for about 20. And so we've got two girls right now that really embody and have embraced the Champion Child effort. They're out there being spokespeople, having tough conversations. Everybody knows public speaking is difficult. To get up and share a story about an attempted suicide or hurting yourself or any of the other things, the courage it takes for those kids to get up there and do that, it's unspeakable. I'm in awe of these young ladies when I see them speak.
Thank you. I mean, a moment of silence there, because that rings true. How much courage it takes to do that. But also how impactful I think that can be for a child or a parent who may be struggling with some of these questions. We'll get to that. You know, as you noted, we're kind of an anxious generation, Craig. And I'm feeling that in some ways too. So Cody had a good question about how do parents handle that. Let's talk though quickly about the Children's Miracle Network as we have a chance, because the Chaudière Children's Hospital, you guys are like this program. You're from Montana for Montana, but you still have to have a broad-based network.
Right. Yeah, I think what's really important is within Children's Miracle Network, Chaudière's the only freestanding children's psychiatric hospital out of 170 other hospitals. So we come to the table with a really unique blend of what we do. And what's been fascinating in my time is that most children's hospitals have a children's psych unit, but now they're starting to lean on the Chaudières of the world who has that expertise. That's what we do, and bringing our knowledge to the table to help the broader network. So again, we talk mental health being on the table, but nationally, Chaudière has had a voice on what's going on the national stage as well because of our relationship with the Children's Miracle Network.
So you sit on the board of the network.
I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Talk about how that might benefit Montana.
I can tell you what. When you go to the Walmarts or the Costcos and you see the balloon, those monies, when you're asked, do you want to give money to Chaudière, those monies come directly to Chaudière Children's Hospital. They don't go back to Salt Lake City or Children's Miracle Network. They're staying in Montana helping Chaudière Children's Hospital. So it definitely impacts us financially, but it also lets us take a story on a broader level nationally.
Talking about mental health here, Chaudière Children's Hospital has been in this battle for a lot of years. In studio is Craig Asfed, CEO, and Rusty Cash, Chief Development Officer. Some of the numbers here as we welcome you back to Voices of Montana. They serve Native Americans. 19% of the population is Native American. So they're reaching into our reservation populations as well for that kind of outreach. 325 employees there. A lot of Medicaid patients, too. And Medicaid, even though Montana confirmed the Medicaid expansion reauthorization, federally, it's still up in the air. So there's probably a lot of concern about that. They serve all 56 counties in the state of Montana. Just a ton of questions to talk about. And thank you guys for both being in studio here as we have this conversation about mental health, not always an easy conversation to have. There's a lot of things, long segment here, but we still got a lot of things to kind of catch up on. I'm going to open it up to this in-house schooling, which I think, Craig, is very interesting in my mind. You guys have an in-house school, but you're also working collaboratively with the Montana Public School System. Talk about that education aspect of your care.
Sure. So what we do, so first of all, part of our programming at Chaudière, we have our own fully accredited school within the walls of our building. So when the child is admitted to SHOWdare, not only are they doing their individual programmatic needs of meeting with psychiatrists and therapists and other programming, they're also going to school, which is really important because, you know, some of these kids will be at SHOWdare for 3 months, 4 months. And our goal is, so our school is, if you're admitted to SHOWdare, then we are coordinating with wherever you're coming from in that school district to keep you on pace so you're not having to repeat a grade because you had this unfortunate situation that required our services. So we are really proud of our school and the work that we do there. And then secondly, we have taken our services specifically in Helena into the Helena school system. So we're in 6 schools there. And providing services within our own classrooms, because we all know school systems are dealing with these kids, these challenging kids, and they don't always have the resources. So we're able to go in and start separating those kids and providing our resources to them in their school setting instead of having to come in as an inpatient in our hospital.
So those are outpatient services?
Those are outpatient services, absolutely.
Is that relatively new for SHOWdare or?
Yeah, you know, SHOWdare, just a brief overview, you know, 10 years ago when I arrived, we were just an inpatient acute residential facility. Of course, we have our genetics program we'll talk about. But we have since then, we've opened up our own outpatient clinic. So we have a separate building on our campus for outpatient services. We also have a clinic in Butte providing outpatient services and another one in Great Falls. So we're really looking at the map and trying to go meet families and patients outside of Helena, making it easier for them to travel. And of course, we're doing the telepsychiatry as well. So we're just really always looking at how we can make our services accessible.
I'm imagining or assuming that that's successful. That you're reaching out and people are responding to those outpatient services.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. They are definitely reaching out to us. There's I hate to say this word, you know, the need is so big. And we talked earlier, families just don't know what to do. Right. And it's like, What's the entryway into the mental health system? And a lot of the times that's through our outpatient services.
Well, and with that, I'm going to share, you know, Cody asked a question because he's got a youngster. You know, at young ages when we were out there, we were throwing spitballs around and, you know, riding bikes across the neighborhood and, you know, being good boys and girls, but still being full on boys and girls. Now, even the youngsters are having some anxiety about things. I don't have a question here. I mean, you guys aren't psychologists, so to speak. But how do we handle that, or how does the medical community then embrace this new reality for kids? And as you noted, a lot of it comes from social media.
Yeah, and I think Cody's question is a great question because Where does the family unit come into play here? And unless you're able to start having these discussions around the kitchen table or in your own home environment where your own kids feel safe to ask the question, then I think it's really organizations like SHOWdare is how do we then educate the broader communities and then provide the right services. Rusty said it earlier, you know, role modeling. But I came from the same place, you know, is that you just didn't talk about these things. I mean, you know what? You sucked it up and you became a kid and you just did what kids do. And now, you know, looking hindsight, it would have been nice to have had an environment where I would have felt comfortable talking about this, but you just didn't do that then.
Yeah. Yeah. And you shared a little bit earlier that people are raising their hands now. Yeah. When you ask the question.
Yeah, I shared earlier with the viewers is when I go out and do presentations, I'll always start with this question of how many people in the room have experienced mental health directly or indirectly. 10 years ago, kind of a raise of the hand, looking to see who's watching. But today, it's 100% of the people are raising their hand, which is encouraging to see at least they're willing to step out. And I would even say the kids, when I go into high schools, they're the ones that they don't hesitate about this at all. They're the first ones to raise their hand.
Good. I'm glad to hear that because that's an encouraging sign, like you say. Rusty, why don't you catch up on some things here? You know, the in-school and the modeling and things like that. And then I want to ask you about support? Because you have to ask the question, how does this all get paid for, too?
Yeah, yeah. All these conversations really dovetail nicely with our children's book that was recently put out, written by Montanans, illustrated by a Montana guy. It's a story of hope. It's a story of inspiration. It's a story of belonging. Quick synopsis. There's a firefly out there on the prairie, bumps into a bison. She had lost her light, which is a bad thing if you're a firefly. And through this sense of belonging, through the sense of encouragement, the bison then helps her find her light again. So metaphorically speaking, the firefly may be one of our patients, just maybe a person struggling that needs some place to belong. You bump into that herd that's strong. Hope's the name of the firefly. Thunder's the name of the bison. When you have belonging, when you feel comfortable to be able to share who you really are, then you're able to find your own light, right? And that's what we help people do. Show Dare, those are our patients, right? The firefly is our patient. They bump into us in the dark. Our therapists, the people, the boots on the ground, the people that do all the hard work.
I should have grabbed one. You brought some copies. This is not a pamphlet.
No.
This is a full-on, it's a large illustrated book is what it is.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's really meant to then teach that story of, hey, it's okay to talk about these things. You need to find your people. You need to belong. And then when Hope finds her light again, she then gives back to the community. So in essence, I would compare it to one of our champion children, to be honest. That looks to me like a couple of these kiddos that we work with right now that are then giving back to the community, educating folks, and guiding other people through that storm.
Yeah, I think the important part I would just add to the book, I mean, first of all, great idea, is it's just another way Shodair has identified of how to connect with, in this case, kids.
Yeah. Yep.
And to get them a book. So yeah, the author, Rusty didn't say this, the author is another Butte boy.
Joe? But,
Joe McLafferty, yeah. Great yep. book. Appreciate the work he did on that. But it's another connector for, you know, us and kids.
Yeah. Yeah, shout out to Joe. He's listening right now.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, we talked with Joe earlier in the week. He's doing something this week in Billings as part of the Montana Football Hall of Fame induction ceremony. So that was pretty cool. And so how do people get a hold of the book? I mean, how are you distributing this? How do we get it into the hands of kids?
So currently we're working with the Superintendents Association. We're going to be getting this book into every school in the state. Right now, as I drive the state, I'm covering all. I've put a lot of miles on my pickup. I drive by, I'll see a small school in the middle of nowhere, and no offense to nowhere, but I'll pull in and drop off a book everywhere from, you know, Jordan to Swan Lake has gotten a book. It's just about spreading awareness, raising that message, letting people know that we're here if they need help.
They can contact you guys at showdare.org
directly
as well.
Get a hold of the foundation. There's a foundation link on there. The foundation's happy to connect with any schools, libraries. We'd be happy to get the book to you.
Let's talk about that support. I mean, because it's okay. Montanans want to, I think, support Montanans. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about medical facilities, those numbers are not small. Talk about the aspect of how you raise the funds and where they come from, and then, you know, how you keep that secure going into the future.
Yeah, we've got some great partners that have historically supported across the board. They're always there when we need something. We were able to call folks. Our goal and what I was tasked with when I first started was to bring this message statewide. So it's to start working with corporations, people that are outside of our traditional bubble, which is the Helena, Bozeman, Butte area. People that have a proximity to the hospital seem to be our go-to right now. Our goal is to bring that across the state. We've developed a lot of new partners statewide. Historically, an organization like Shodair runs a deficit. When we don't turn kids away because of ability to pay, we're going to run a deficit. That varies year to year. And in that turn, they lean on the foundation. Children's Miracle Network has been a great partner. They sponsor us on a variety of things. So when you see Dairy Queen Roundup or Ace Hardware, Costco, Walmart, who's having a campaign right now there. So when you're at Walmart this week, round that thing up. So those are our historical partners. We have a Play Yellow golf event, which has been a great success.
Play Yellow.
There's a story behind that. Jack Nicholas. I don't want to go all into it. It's a great story, but yep. Craig still got his bracelet on. So it's a great story. But yeah, those are our traditional funding, is our corporate partners statewide. We've got a lot of great people. I don't know if we want to go into details on any of those folks or...
How do you manage that? I mean, because there's uncertainty in funding from those mm-hmm. kinds of sources, so to speak. That keeps you up at night, I suppose.
Oh, it definitely does. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think, you know, a couple different... I want to do a shout out to the Montana legislature this year that eliminated the sunset on Medicaid expansion. As we shared earlier, our model and the kids we take care of, a lot of Medicaid children. So being able to have Medicaid expansion in the state of Montana was a big win, I believe, for the entire state of Montana. So that, and then I think we're always looking at, you know, other areas we can work with. We have a great relationship with the Department of Health and Human Services and how we can funding things differently through them. So it's just, Rusty said, there's partners everywhere you go in every of what we do. So I'm going to, Tom, just go back to the kind of the beginning of this segment of, you know, when a kid comes to Chaudière, I want to talk about this sanctuary model, that Chaudière is part of this sanctuary model of care. And really what it is, it's a trauma-informed model of care. And here's the quickest way I can summarize it. A lot of times when we look at kids and their behavior issues, it's like, what's wrong with you? Instead of really stepping back and saying, what happened to you? Mm-hmm. So we rolled this out not only for our kids, but for our staff, because we're all coming to the table with our traumas in life. And it's really just identifying that, being able to talk about it, and creating the safe environments. So that's really what the sanctuary model has done for Chaudière, and not just kids. Again, it's the whole organization.
I appreciate that, because I saw and I noted that you guys were using a sanctuary model, and I looked into that. It was interesting in a lot of ways, but I think that's the gist of it right there.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys will write a book about dinosaurs next. the Firefly and the Bison, it's Hope and Thunder. You can get a copy of that written and illustrated by Montana's Chaudière.org for more information. I say that because Victor Bjornborg is going to be in studio tomorrow, and he heads up the Montana Dinosaur Trail, which is now 20 years old, so that'll be a little bit of fun. I suppose, Craig, there's some dinosaurs rolling around Chaudière Children's Hospital.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's just funny to hear that story, being a Lewistown boy and dinosaurs and all that. So I do want to just call out the people in Lewistown.
Grew KXLO. Up there. Yeah.
Great, great community. Best place to be raised in Montana.
I think so.
I don't know about that.
I got 1 minute left, and thank you guys for sharing the information here. I think that's what we intended, was just to get a bunch of information out. So it's hard to kind of wrap all that up. But Craig, you're the CEO. That's your job, is to wrap up and put something on this here in about a minute. Can you do that for
us? Sure. So first of all, again, a thank you, and thank you to the viewers who are listening. What I would just summarize here, mental health is real. I mean, we have a significant issue facing our country, not only us adults, but our children. And that's what Chaudière is about, is how we can take care of kids and build them and put them back together to live productive lives.
I'm so thankful for that, because you said it's real. So is recovery.
Yeah.
Recovery is real as well. Rusty Cash, good luck in what you do, okay?
Thank you so much.
I appreciate that.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah, Craig, I hope to see you around again, okay?
You definitely will. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.